WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In the years since the Beatles, singers who aren't also songwriters have become something of an anachronism. Marty Jones is one of the few rock singers who admits to often preferring the songs of other singer-songwriters, such as Elvis Costello, Marshall Crenshaw, and John Hyatt, to her own. Jones has made three records produced by her partner, guitarist Don Dixon. She's hoping that her latest album, Used Guitars, will have the commercial breakthrough that has eluded her. She's never made it to the Billboard charts, although she's a favorite among critics and college students. On Used Guitars, there are three songs Marty Jones co-wrote with Don Dixon, including this one, Tourist Town. Jones wrote the lyrics and is featured on vocals and acoustic guitar.
I'm tempted to hide away. I'm tempted to hide in a tourist town.
You co-wrote several of the songs on your latest record, but I think you actually think of yourself more as a singer than a singer-songwriter. Is that right?
I'm not really. I've never been a songwriter first, and I just never got in the habit of doing my own songs, not in public anyway. So I never really developed as a songwriter, and I'm just starting to really get back into it with the help of Don Dixon coaxing me along, saying, Marty, you know, you really can write. And he cringes when he hears me say that I'm not really a songwriter.
You do two songs by Janice Ian on your new record, mm-hmm. and a lot of people remember her as the singer-songwriter behind Society's Child. I had no idea what she was doing. How did you come about getting songs from her? Tell me about Keep Me in the Dark.
She's been writing in the past 2.5 years with a woman named Kai Fleming. So actually the two of them wrote Keep Me in the Dark, and it was a song that they had in the stockpile when we all three got together. So I said, well, you know, I really don't feel this pressure to have to come up with new songs. Why don't you guys play me some things that nobody else wants to do of yours, things that you like, things that you think I'd like. And then they played me Keep Me in the Dark, and I really loved it. So that was one that I chose.
Don't love me, if you don't need me, I don't wanna know. Keep pretending you're not leaving till it's time to go. I'm not asking for forever, baby. That's more.
I find that, particularly with pop songs, that sometimes songs will really grow on you, and a song that might not really strike you one way or another the first time you hear it will become a really wonderful song after you've heard it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. So mm-hmm. I'd really like to know how you judge a song, if you can judge it on first hearing, or do you have to listen to it a few times, play it around in your mind a few times before you know whether you really think it's a good song or not?
Sometimes I listen to songs and I'll get tapes, and they hit me as songs that I really love. What I can't figure out is how it's gonna sound with me doing it, or how am I gonna approach the song. The Real One is a real good example by John Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
I got a demo of that song a couple of years ago and put it in the pile marked really great songs but maybe aren't right for me right now. And Dixon, being the dedicated producer that he is, made me stick with it and heard something in his head, and he knew it could be strong, and I really do love the way that song turned out. The other John Hyatt song is also a good example of that. I've had that tape for 4 years, the demo tape of If I Can Love Somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when it was first sent to me, this girl was singing it, and I don't know who it is. She has a beautiful voice, but it was with a piano, and it was real ballad type. It sounded like Heart Like a Wheel by Linda Ronstadt. And I thought, you know, I can't do this song like this because it's going to sound like Heart Like a Wheel by Linda Ronstadt. So it took me a while to go back to that and just figure out some way to do it. And lo and behold, it was sort of this Taj Mahal approach that came out of me, because I'm a big Taj Mahal fan. Even John said, after he heard my version, he said, "Gosh, I can't believe how you changed that song." I said, "Well, I mean, do you hate it?" He said, "No, it's just, when I wrote it, I wanted everybody to feel really sorry for me." But it just didn't sound sad to me. It never did.
The smiling ghost who left me here is laughing in the wind. The tables all the turning, all their backs on me again. But I'll get out alive if I can just hold on till then. If I can love somebody, if I can love somebody, if I can love somebody like you.
Before you started recording solo, you played and recorded with a band called Color Me Gone. When that band broke up, did you not want to return to singing with a band again?
Once I quit that band, there were maybe 3 or 4 months that went by, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, maybe go back to school, and that's when I was contacted by Don Dixon, and he is somebody who has a very, very positive attitude. It was the exact opposite, night and day difference between what I had been through for like 2.5, 3 years. You know, my self-confidence started to come back, that I could give myself credit for being a thinking person and not just the chick stick singer in a band.
What were you expected to be that, the chick singer in the band?
Was I that in Color Me Gone?
Yeah, was that the expectation?
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It's tough when you're a girl in an all-guy band, first of all, just because of that woman kind of thing. When we were in the studio, too, it was a difficult situation when you feel like, and this was true, there was maybe 4 hours devoted to how the snare drum sounded and maybe 1 hour devoted to how you could hear yourself in the headphones, me doing vocals, which was, you know, basically, it is the most important thing on a record. If you've got a vocalist, that's the most important thing.
Well, you know, some men think that the woman singer is there to just dress up the band, that she's up in front to look good and add some dressing to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not how I look at myself, though.
Well, I should hope.
I mean, I was even told at one point, seriously, you know, you should really wear a leather miniskirt. And by the way, get rid of that guitar. It gets in the way.
Really?
I mean, it didn't matter that I was playing significant rhythm parts that were part of the song that had to be there.
When you played clubs with the band, did you have to shout over them when you were singing?
Yeah, that's funny you should bring that up. Yeah, it was always a contest to see who could be the loudest on stage with that band. The bass player was into heavy metal, or had been before that, so he played real, real loud. And so he would insist that he had to play that loud because he had to be able to hear himself over the drums, because the drummer was like this monster, this monster drummer. And then the guitar player, of course, would say, "Well, I can't hear my guitar over his bass." So he'd turn up, and I just refused to compete.
I think sometimes when you're young and you're starting to sing, you want to sound like the people who you like the most. So you try to model your sound on theirs. Did you go through a period like that?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to be Joni Mitchell. And then when I started, I was playing in lounges for a long time when I was in college, just with an acoustic guitar. And then I played with a bass player named Scott Folkman, and then later on with a guy named Tom McAtee. And the three of us had a trio, and we always did cover songs. And we were doing a lot more like Carole King and Carly Simon and Linda Ronstadt and a bunch of different singers, Kim Carnes. And it was, you know, the more you sounded like the original artist, the better. Then when it came time for me to do original music, I was like, oh no, I can't, because I don't know what I sound like. It took a long time for me to develop my own sort of voice.
The people who you used to try to imitate, do they ever sneak back into your voice when you're not paying attention?
Yeah, and those are moments of levity in the studio. Sometimes, I mean, I'll open my mouth and a real just prime Joni Mitchell note comes out, and we'll go, wait, we might have to redo that because it's just too much coming through. But it's that I can't, you know, you try to be original is all, and that's the name of the game here. You try to be original.
Marty Jones, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Marty Jones' latest record, Used Guitars, is on A&M Records.
I'm gonna live the dreams I'd say if
This is Fresh Air.